from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello once again and welcome in the Saviour's name to our gospel broadcast. I'm delighted that you're tuning in, and I hope you'll stay with us as Letting the Bible Speak today is the Reverend John Greer.
On a certain occasion, the Apostle Paul was preaching in a courtroom in the city of Caesarea. There were many there that day, among whom was King Agrippa. And when Paul had preached, Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." We looked at this text last week. It speaks of being a Christian. The word Christian or the name Christian is one that is most terribly misunderstood, and definitions are given of a Christian which are totally contrary to the Word of God. So we must look at the Bible to find the answer. And indeed, since Agrippa said that Paul had almost persuaded him to be a Christian, it is an indication that what Paul had said was a revelation of what a Christian is. So we have been looking at Acts 26 and the verse 18 especially, because that verse contains words I would suggest to you that really sum up what being a Christian is all about. Now, the first thing that we have started to consider is that man in his natural state is not a Christian, because this 18th verse describes how, or relates to us, what Paul was sent to preach as the apostle of the Gentiles. And he was sent to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, that is in Christ. Now, those are words that gripped Agrippa's heart, and it showed him, among other verses here, what a Christian is. And of course, to begin with, what a Christian is not, and that's what I'm saying, the natural man is not a Christian. That is, man in his fallen state, his natural state, in his condition without God, he is not a Christian. As he's born into this world, he's not a Christian. He may be brought up in the church, he may be baptized and confirmed, and all kinds of things done to him, but by nature, he is not a Christian and cannot be made a Christian except through God's marvelous grace. You see, he's in a state of deception because his eyes need to be opened. Paul was sent, and through preaching, he was to open their eyes. He's in a state of darkness because he needs to be turned from darkness to light. And therefore, he is someone, the natural man, the unbeliever, is someone who gravitates toward darkness. Moral darkness, spiritual darkness, even physical darkness. The Bible says that men seek the night time that they might pursue their evil deeds. It is during night time that wicked men commit murder, that they commit immorality, that they go about their ungodly lifestyle. Oh, they love the cover of darkness. It's an indication of the darkness of the heart of man, and therefore man in his natural state is most certainly not a Christian. It's a state of domination, because he needs to be turned from the power of Satan unto God. The sinner is most definitely under the bondage of the evil one. Ephesians 2 verse 2, Paul reminds the Ephesians of their former condition, and he says that they were children of wrath, even as others. And 1 John 5:19 tells us, literally as it can be put, the whole world lieth in the wicked one, the devil himself. So the devil, the god of this world, exercises dominion in the world of the ungodly and unsaved masses by influencing and controlling their minds through temptations, through worldly pleasures, through carnal entertainment. You are not a Christian if you are yet in that condition of being a natural man, an unsaved man. You are in a state of domination. You are in a state of danger, because Paul was sent to preach forgiveness of sins, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And the inference again is that the man who is not a Christian, his sins aren't forgiven, and that's why he's not a Christian. Because a Christian is someone who's forgiven, who's accepted by God, who enjoys the great benefits of the gospel. But the natural man does not enjoy such. He's unforgiven and unpardoned, and therefore he is in danger of divine wrath, since he's not accepted by God. And then it's a state of despair, because the one who comes to Christ has an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And the point is that the man who is not a Christian does not possess that inheritance, which is heaven and all that heaven holds. Rather, that man faces eternal ruin. He is headed toward destruction. I warn you today that this is your destination as you are now found. You are fast headed for hell and will finally arrive there unless you turn to Jesus Christ and by the grace of God are saved from your sins. So man in his natural condition is not a Christian. His condition is one of deception and darkness, dominated by the devil, in danger of eternal damnation, and facing eternal despair. Oh, my friend, see that this is the state of every man without Christ, and therefore your state, if you know not the Saviour. Then our text shows us that being a Christian is the product of a divine power. In this 18th verse, Paul testifies before Agrippa his own experience of the power of the gospel. Now that testimony begins back in verse 4, where he refers to the manner of life that he had lived and which was well known among his own people, the Jews. And he continues testifying, and he comes down to verses 13 and 14, where he records his conversion on the Damascus Road and the subsequent call to preach the gospel. Therefore, Paul is quoting the very words of Christ in these verses, words in which the Lord commissions Paul to preach the gospel, to bring about the blessed results described in verse 18. Now, the point is that through a faithful gospel ministry, a divine supernatural power is effected to bring about the work of grace that is in view in this text. Notice that this divine power effects everything needed to counteract the ravages of sin. The blessings of this verse fall into two sections of three parts each. There is regeneration, because it speaks of having their eyes opened. There is inclination, they're turned from darkness to light. There is emancipation, they're brought from the power of Satan unto God, they're set free. Now these three acts of divine power and grace are the basis of the sinner's deliverance. They describe the mighty transforming work that Christ performs in sinners to overthrow the power of sin in their hearts and lives. God opens men's spiritual eyes and turns them from darkness to light and delivers them from the power of Satan unto God. This is the work and the performance of divine grace. You can't do this. You cannot turn yourself from the devil, from darkness, from sin. You are helplessly and hopelessly lost. But the gospel is that Christ does all this for men and sets them gloriously free. And then the second part of the verse contains also three features of what the Lord does. It says that they may receive forgiveness of sins. There is remission. And it speaks of those who are sanctified, their sanctification. And it speaks of those who receive an inheritance. There is glorification. So these three acts of divine power and grace are the blessings enjoyed in the sinner's deliverance. Everything is bestowed to bring to the sinner all that is required to take him from his natural state to a state of grace and eventually to glory itself. And the point is that salvation is by grace alone. That is what is being said in verse 18. All of these divine acts are wrought through God's marvellous grace. And since that is so, there is no place for human effort or human merit, so-called. Absolutely none. You will never be saved but by the grace of God. You can't save yourself. The church can't save you. It is God alone who makes men Christians. Being a Christian, it's not a natural condition. Rather, it is the product of a divine power. And I pray indeed that you, this very day, will be brought to know our great and glorious Saviour. And then may you notice with me in closing that a sinner becomes a Christian through faith in Christ. Notice the final words, by faith that is in me. Now here's the Bible's way by which sinners become Christians in the true sense of the term. It is through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. They become Christians, therefore, by obeying the call of the gospel. It's a call to repent and believe. Where it says here, through faith that is in me, there is the clear evidence that men only become Christians by faith, and faith is always accompanied by repentance. It's a call to acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, that he came to be the Saviour of sinners, that his sacrifice alone atones for sin and reconciles to the Father, that he rose from the dead as an indication of his finished work. And then it's to call on the Lord for salvation, which means that there's a trusting, there's a resting in Christ and his work. Think of those great words in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is faith in who Christ is and what Christ has done, can do, and will do for sinners. In other words, the gospel addresses you and calls on you to obey its call. Do that today. Come to Christ, and the Lord will make you a Christian and will bring you savingly to himself.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.